This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's new car energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
We are live on X this hour. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. We thank you for checking out Bet Sweats every weekday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. Joe Ostrowski on X at SB Shoot for Sam over there. All right, we're going to power rank. We do this every Wednesday, but we're going to do top five worst NFL teams and try to explain why just a little bit. I mean, it's funny. We're separating the bad. Like, what makes this team a little bit worse than the other one when the list of awful NFL teams is, unfortunately, it feels like it's getting longer and longer, especially as the quarterback injuries seem to be piling up across the league. So, Sam, we'll start with fifth worst, working our way up to the worst team. But why don't you start us off? Your fifth worst team in the NFL, what you got?
So, my worst team is actually not my lowest power-rated team, but how do you not have a certain team on line one? I think we're going to have the same number one, but we shall see. I feel like these lists will be pretty similar, but I'm curious to see how we stack one through five. So, number five, I went to the Las Vegas Raiders. You can move from Oakland to Vegas. It doesn't matter. You're still the Raiders. You're still a joke. You still don't know how to draft. You have so many holes, so you take a running back in the first round. It's like, it's very funny. Oh, I have an idea. Let's hire Pete Carroll to be the head coach. It's more of an organizational thing, I think, than a roster thing, but they're still very bad. And now Max Crosby potentially on the block. That defense could get a ton worse. So I went the Raiders as the fifth worst team in the league. Number four, but maybe on an upswing. I don't think the Saints are as bad as a lot of people thought coming into the season. I remember reading a bunch of summer predictions or previews where the Saints were the worst roster in football. No, they're not. They're bad, but they're not the worst. And I think from a coaching standpoint, you're starting to see some flashes. Now, when you turn the ball over like you did against the Bears, you're not going to win many games. But Kellen Moore has found a couple of things offensively. And on defense, they still have some warm bodies. They're not the worst team in the league. Most people would have said they were 31 or 32 in August. They're not that bad. They're bad, but not that bad. Number three, here's a team that we were talking about last year as a sneaky AFC championship contender. And they stunk last year, and they're worse this year. And now the quarterback is calling out the receivers, and the coach is still wearing capri pants, and the defense can't tackle. This Miami thing is a mess right now. And it's wild because I have Kenny White's NFL numbers up here. He's got Miami 21st out of 32.
Get out, Kenny. Standpoint. You're out for lunch.
I think, well, it's not that much high. I mean, like, the gap between 21 and 32 is not big. It's not. It's a few points. It's very hard to put Miami, Carolina, Arizona, Vegas in order. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
But I have Miami as the third worst team because to me it's about effort. And it just doesn't look like they give a damn anymore. And while you do have more talented players than the Saints and the Raiders, if you don't try, it doesn't matter. And when you turn on each other, that's the great equalizer. You can have talent. They got a bunch of guys. But when you don't come together as one, you got no shot. And they have no shot. And the coach is probably on the way out, I would think, at least at the end of the season. Number two for me, I wanted to put this team number one, but they have a win. How can you dock them and put them as the worst team when the Tennessee Titans actually have a win? They won a game this year in hilarious fashion with the catch, the fumble, how they scored on that touchdown, I still don't know. And only to be outdone by the DeMercado, the running back, letting go of the ball at the goal line. But they did win the game. They're a mess, but they fired the coach. And I think that naturally moves them off of line one because organizationally they realized that Brian Callahan had to go and they made a move. So firing the coach moved them from one to two in my book. And the worst team in the league is the team that was still starting Justin Fields last week. three games this year where he didn't crack 50 yards passing and they still were rolling him out there. And I think, you know what? I think they thought about it heading into this week, but we did see the news earlier this week. Tyrod Taylor's going to start. Good luck. The coach has got to go. You can already tell after 7 weeks, the coach has got to go. Again, maybe more organizationally driven than roster driven, but they're just incompetent. And they continue to make the wrong decisions and get the wrong quarterbacks and bring in the wrong coaches and draft the wrong guys. And it's the same thing. What's insanity? The same thing over and over and over again. And that's all we do with the Jets. They are the worst team to me in the NFL.
Okay. Jets worst, Titans second worst, Dolphins third, Saints fourth, Raiders fifth. Some agreement, some disagreement with my list. Starting at number five, the Saints suck. Yes, we can talk ourselves into the idea that Rattler's a little bit better, and I was hearing that all week against the Bears, and I bought into some of it. Then he had four turnovers. Like, yeah, Rattler's not that bad. They got a puncher's chance. Do you see all that game day money? You were on the air. You saw all that game day money lining up on the Saints, right?
Three and a half.
It's 5.5 much of the week, closes 3.5. All that late money on the Saints, never had a chance. All losers there. The Saints stink. They are number five. Number four, Dolphins are dumb. That's my number four worst team in the NFL. You mentioned teams not turning on each other yet, or maybe they will soon. The Dolphins are doing it before our very eyes. It started with the injuries, and now it's just gone downhill. Tua's calling teammates out at the podium last week. Now this week, the head coach is calling out the quarterback. This is not good. I'm shocked the head coach still has a job. Shocked. But the Dolphins, just because of their dysfunction, a lot of these there, they've got to be in this list. You put them at number three. I put them at number four worst teams. This might surprise you order-wise. Not that the team is placed, of course, in the top three, but just the order. And I'm going with the winless Jets as the third worst team. Look at their games. They're not that awful. Teams are not scoring a ton on them. I'm not here to tell you that they have a great defense. But when you go over the roster, there actually are some players that I think a lot of teams would like to add, right? They have talent in places. It's just a dysfunctional organization, which starts at the very top with ownership. They have no quarterback. I saw Woody Johnson the other day. He's basically blaming everything on Justin Fields and his quarterback rating. That's why they're bad. Just because we don't have a quarterback next year. Oh, that's got to make the quarterbacks feel great. The owner's out there telling the media, we don't have a quarterback on the roster, and that's why we stink. It's all your fault. No, Woody, that's not the entire story. I think it has something to do with you. But because of that, because of the close games, because they do have talent, I decided to put the Jets at number three because there's a couple organizations that I think are in a worse spot right now. Number two, you had them at five. I'm putting them at number two, even though they have two wins, and that's the Vegas Raiders. The Raiders are repulsive. And all this chatter about they finally got a quarterback, and Geno Smith is arguably the worst quarterback in the NFL now. He goes from flying high in Seattle, looking good, having weapons. All right, you got paid. You're going to the Raiders. You stink again. It's like New York all over again. The Raiders can never do anything right. They always get the coach wrong. They think they get the quarterback, and they get that wrong again, whether it's via the draft or free agency. It does not matter. They are the Raiders. They stink. Oh, it would suck to be a Raiders fan. Raiders number two. Number one, worst team in the NFL. Titans are trash. They were the worst team last year. They're the worst team this year. I don't care that they have a win. It is a disaster. And I just wonder if Cam Ward is going to ever recover. We are seeing quarterbacks this year that really struggled in awful organizations to start their career, maybe a couple of different spots that was the case. And they turn things around eventually. I hope that's it for Cam Ward. Things do not look good. By far the worst team in the NFL. They were the first team to fire a coach for good reason, and it did not matter. They got no new coach bump with McCoy last week. Not that he was going to save anything. So, yeah, Titans 1. So I've got Titans 1, Raiders 2, Jets 3, Dolphins 4, Saints 5. Sam, we have the exact same five teams, just in a different order.
I can't believe you have the Jets on line 3. 3?
Titans are worse. They're worse teams.
I'll give you Titans. But okay. The Raiders?
Yeah, the Raiders are worse. Yeah, they thought they got a quarterback.
I don't know.
The Jets stink. None of these teams are any good, right? They're all fade material every single week. But if you look at like point differential, the Jets aren't even in the bottom five in the NFL. They are somehow keeping these games close. They just can't get into the end zone. Back-to-back weeks without a touchdown. But yeah, I'm not saying they're good. I'm saying they're 30th in the league.
I think the hard thing to quantify is hope. That's for me, the Jets have no hope. I mean, they're going to Tyrod Taylor in 2025. Tyrod Taylor's been for 7 years in this league. And now you're going back to, I mean, longer than 7 years, but I mean, I remember when he got benched for Josh Allen in Buffalo, and we're still doing the Tyrod Taylor thing. Yeah. He's 36 years old, man. Like, that's your answer. That, to me, that's the definition of no hope. You know what's going to happen there. He's been in the league since 2011. I wanted to correct myself there. Sixth-round pick, 2011. He's been in the league a long, long time. But, man, like, you know what you're getting there. And I saw some fodder yesterday on social media, like, oh, he's 100 times better than Justin Fields. No, he's not.
Stop. That argument was around, like, 7, 8 years ago, right? How long has this dude been in the league?
2011.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, that argument was going around a decade ago. And I understood what people were saying. And to the point spread, okay, that makes sense. Replaceable guy for a couple of weeks. But no, not in 2025, man. That ain't happening.
Yeah. So there were a couple teams I thought about putting on this list. I thought about the Browns, but because of their defense, I just couldn't put them bottom five. If that makes any sense. Like, I think their defense is going to win them a few games, maybe not a handful of games, but you know, Cleveland at 2-5 is a bad football team, but their defense is still top 10 in a lot of avenues. So I just couldn't do it. If you wanted to do like point differential, I think that's a good barometer of how bad teams are. Even though the Bengals are 3-4, they have the second worst point differential at minus 78. They're bad. They're very bad. But I think we look at them a lot differently because they just won on Amazon Prime on Thursday. Oh, they beat the Steelers. Maybe things aren't that bad. There is a team that is obviously not good, but I think there's a Band-Aid on the cut now because of what we just watched on Thursday with Flacco and Chase and Higgins.
Totally. Another stat that the Bengals are at the very bottom at. Net yards per play. They are the worst in the NFL. But I view it as different now. Like a lot of those numbers, I think you have to eliminate them. Because would those be the numbers if it was Flacco under center instead of Browning for those weeks? I don't think so. Not saying they'd be as good as last week when they won. but they would be much better. They wouldn't be the worst in the league. So, yeah, same thought process. I'm with you on the Browns. I couldn't go there because of their defense and how they play at home. And another team that I think some others would put in the bottom five in the league that neither of us did, and this is also a team that plays well at home. The team that has Andy Dalton as their quarterback now, Carolina. Neither of us put them in there. So I do find it interesting we landed on the same five teams, even though there are some other candidates that are close.
I'll tell you who would have made the list if the quarterback was out for the season. If, again, he's not. He's coming back this week, by all accounts. If Lamar wasn't healthy or Lamar wasn't playing, I would have put Baltimore fifth. I would have.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He covers up so much. He covers up so much on that team.
Their defense was awful. That is my one hesitation on that Bears game, about laying 6.5 with that team. Even though Lamar's back, and you're right, he does cover up so much. But that defense, is it better? Is everybody healthier? There's some key cogs that are out for the rest of the season. So are they going to stop the Bears? I don't know. Are they going to turn the ball over? Is Derrick Henry going to continue to keep fumbling the football like he was doing? Don't forget that was part of the struggles. But, yeah, there are some teams that were close that I'm with you. We just couldn't get to. A lot of bad in this league, man. We just talked about like 10 teams. You know? This league. That's why you get some rough games from week to week. Joe O, Sammy P. We're going to keep things rolling. We'll talk some NBA futures with our buddy Rick Camp right here on BetSweats.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Joe O, Sammy P with you, and wherever I'm doing a show, whether it be Bet Sweats here or on 670 The Score over the years at the start of the NBA season, always got to reach out to my guy, Rick Camp, and talk some NBA futures, some good numbers that you can grab right now. And I guarantee you, Sam, we'll be looking back in a month like, Campy told us to get that at 40, and now it's 7. Campy told us to get that number at 25, and now he's the favorite in this specific awards market. Rick Camp joins us at Rick C. Camp over on X. He's got the I'm Fat podcast. You can check out Fat Stacks over there. He's got the info on his Twitter account. Rick, how'd you enjoy night number one? Was the nostalgia flowing with the NBA and NBC?
Oh, it absolutely was. And I think they did a good job of not leaning too far into it. It was kind of modernizing within that nostalgia structure that we had. I liked them in that open, kind of making fun of the fact that all the guys in the league are too young to have, you know, really existed during the NBA on NBC era. I like that they leaned into that a good amount. And I just think I'm excited for it, for like NBC's actual broadcast, and also the fact that they clearly made a decision. We're focusing on the games. We're focusing on what's going on the court. And I really hope that that forces the other broadcast partners to step up their game in terms of type of coverage that they're giving. You know, it'd be really nice on any of the shows on ESPN to be able to have them actually talk about, you know, nuts and bolts of what's happening in the game. Maybe this Tim Legler thing that he seems to be doing with these coaches is a good first step. But, you know, I don't need Stephen A. and Perk yelling at everything. I want analysis of a game. And I feel like that's what we're going to get more often than not on these NBC broadcasts.
So you feel like the broadcast is exponentially better, question mark, across the board?
At least from the first night, I would say so. I think just like from a production standpoint, along with, you know, the type of content we were getting, like Mike Tirico is not my favorite, but I think he does a solid enough job. I think Jamal Crawford is going to be a very, very good game analyst. And I think that we're like Reggie not having as much studio space is probably a good thing. So you can get him in more short bursts in the middle of a game. So I like the way they have that structured. And, you know, I don't want to over-index one game, but or one night. But if nothing else, I think they're on the right track with how they're going about it.
Let's start with the title odds. Of course, the Thunder is your favorite. They had a ring night last night, and we saw what happened there. They don't cover the number. And we've got the Nuggets as a second favorite. Cavs. Okay, now we get to the Eastern Conference third. Knicks fourth. Rockets / Minnesota Timberwolves 16-1 about as your fifth favorite. We had Noops on the other day. He could not stop talking about how much value he sees on the Denver Nuggets. Kept going on and on about it. You've been good at it over the years. What's your pick for this season?
I was feeling so good about getting on the Nuggets early in the off season, and now everybody is on the Nuggets, and I'm worried. Because, now mind you, should the Thunder be the favorites? Absolutely. But I do like how the Nuggets have gone about trying to focus on depth a little bit more this off season. You know, Tim Hardaway Jr., Bruce Brown, Jonas Valanciunas, those are guys that, are they closer to the end than not? Sure. But when you're in the window right now with Nikola Jokic, that's what you have to do. And they also have guys that still have some ceiling to be able to raise what this team can be. Could that be Christian Brown, maybe getting a little more consistent on his shot, being willing to take more threes, or just the different elements that Cam Johnson can give them versus what Michael Porter Jr. was? Cam Johnson, a little bit better off the bounce, and like he's going to be a little better defensively. He's not good, but he's going to be a little better defensively than Porter in a different style. He's not going to be a guy that can give you any sort of like backline rim protection or anything, but he can be another guy to at least slow down someone who's got the ball at the point of attack a little bit. That's going to be Christian Brown's job, but I think he gives them more versatility offensively with that depth, having guys like Peyton Watson, who's going to be playing for a contract, who's going to be an important guy off their bench. Maybe a guy like Julian Strother is able to be mixed in as opposed to being relied on. So if you're in a spot where you just need some buckets, that's a guy that can go in there and get you some buckets and not do a whole lot else. It just gives Adelman a little more versatility to curtail what they're doing to each individual matchup, as opposed to here are the eight guys we got and we just have to hold on for dear life. And I'm hoping that with this depth, they're able to maybe play Jokic a few fewer minutes or maybe give him a night off here and there so that maybe the regular season performance isn't quite as high as it's been for someone like Jokic. But as a team, they're more ready for the playoffs. And with Jamal Murray looking good coming into the season and in shape and not having to rehab anything, I'm excited for what this team can be as the primary challenger to the Thunder, not just in the West, but for the title overall.
And yet we still expect the Thunder to win. It's crazy how the numbers work and how our brains decipher the information, because a month ago, the Thunder were plus 270 at BetMGM. And if you were to ask somebody, they would say, oh, you can't bet that. You can't bet 270. Okay. Watch it be 185 by Christmas. Watch it be 150 by Valentine's Day. You can still do this. Let's talk about this bet. I understand we don't like betting favorites here, but the Thunder to win the NBA title and the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl is 20-1 right now at BetMGM. Who blows that one up, Joe?
Thunder.
How? Massive injuries?
Yeah. Yeah, it could happen.
It's a matchup for them, too. That matchup, like, if you just think, even if it gets to, like, Western Conference Finals, Thunder Nuggets, like, Jokic is a weird matchup for them. I mean, considering what the Nuggets were by the time that series was happening last year, pushing them to the brink, like, Denver's not the easiest matchup for the Thunder in that regard. Jokic just does not turn the ball over that much, and he's not a guy that's going to get sped up. Like, you saw yesterday with these, you know, the Thunder having to do kind of point guard by committee stuff, the Thunder defense was able to speed them up, and you were seeing turnovers from Şengün and Durant and Amen Thompson, and that's going to happen against a lot of teams. But when it's Jokic running the show, and Jamal Murray to a certain extent too, those guys play at their own speed, and they're not going to be rushed quite as much by what the defense is doing. They like to dictate more than, like, one of the genius things that the Thunder do is they're able to dictate terms defensively to a lot of teams. And that's tough to do in this NBA environment. So I just think that the Nuggets are a harder matchup for them compared to a lot of the other teams that they could be facing.
Campy, what's the team in the East?
I don't think it's going to be anything earth-shattering in terms of who makes it out of the East. I think it's going to be one of your top three, probably. Cleveland, New York, Orlando. I do like Orlando. Like, the way I played it in terms of trying to think of a finals matchup was basically the day the Cam Johnson trade happened, I'm like, okay, I want Denver over whoever in the East, because I just don't trust these East teams to win against Oklahoma City or Denver, who I really think have a high probability to be the teams coming out of the West. So I started just doing exactas, Denver over Cleveland, Denver over New York, Denver over Orlando, and trying to get a little bit of extra value that way. I can't wait to see what the Magic are going to be with Desmond Bane giving just a little bit more space for Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner. Even if Franz can't shoot that much better than last year, hoping that Paolo can score just a little bit more efficiently, and Bane being able to give them any sort of shooting would be great. Jalen Suggs, when he gets back, gives them a great defensive element and another guy who can at least handle the ball in a secondary role. And they're a very good defensive team. Jamal Mosley, like, is adamant about defense. The Knicks I'm worried about just because of, like, these injuries right now. Mike Brown is a solid coach, but I'm kind of waiting to see with what they're going to end up being. And the Cavs, it's just they have injuries at this point. Evan Mobley, if he takes another step, it could just straight be the Cavs, assuming that they get healthy at some point this year. You know, with Garland out, Strus is going to be out for a good portion of the regular season. If Evan Mobley takes a step to where he has to be considered maybe for that, like, fifth first team all NBA slot, then the Cavs have a much better shot than I'm probably giving them in a playoff setting right now.
I know you've got something juicy. I'm going to guess it's either in the sixth man of the year market or the most improved market. I know you, and I know you're looking there.
So the number's long gone at this point, but I bet Reed Shepard to be sixth man of the year before the Fred VanVleet injury, figuring he was going to get a good role. Looking at the screen right now at BetMGM, he's 20-1. I have him at 200-1 and 150-1.
Oh my God, dude.
So yeah, those are
where were those texts?
Well, nothing. I don't know. Yeah, I know. I wasn't as great this offseason with the texts. I believe me, I have so many CLV sandwiches that are gonna turn into absolutely nothing this year, but they're gonna look great on a spreadsheet until I put an L there. That's one that I really think there. One thing with that market, with the six man of the year market, DeAndre Hunter is one of the favorites. Depending on what book he's either the favorite or the second favorite. I don't think he's going to qualify. I think he's going to start too often because Max Strus is out a large portion of the season. So even when Strus, like, he's probably going to be out at least half of the regular season, even when he comes back, he's probably not going to be starting right away. So, and Atkinson has talked about how he likes DeAndre Hunter with the starting lineup. I don't think he's going to play enough games off the bench to even qualify. So I like the fact that we've got a, you know, hashtag vulnerable favorite here. But as I look at that market, I really think Naz Reid has a good opportunity. But a lot of the names that are, you know, towards the favorites of the board are not your traditional candidates. I don't know if I can trust Jordan Clarkson on the Knicks, or if he's dust, is he even the best guy to go with? Or is it Josh Hart who's hurt right now, or Deuce McBride? You can get long odds on Deuce McBride to be sixth man of the year if you're looking for someone off the Knicks. You know, if it's the Rockets, could it be Tari Eason instead? I don't know. He fouls too much, and he's not necessarily as much of a scorer. Anthony Simons with the Celtics, he's going to be the guy that comes off the bench with Pritchard starting. He might not last the season on that team because he's the easiest salary for them to trade to get out of the luxury tax altogether to be able to reset some of their repeater tax penalties, which is a thing that you just have to think about in this, you know, in this apron era that we're in right now, that especially for a Celtics team that is, you know, not going to be near as good this year and not a contender, they're going to take that stuff into account a little bit more. So when you start taking some of those names out, it's like Naz Reid, and then maybe you look at some guys down the board.
I feel like every year you have a ticket live at a good number for coach of the year. So let's hit on that. Are there any names you like there? Any numbers? And why is it Billy Donovan at 60?
Okay. It is most definitely not Billy Donovan at 60 at all. It is Chris Finch at 35 with Minnesota. The big variable with Minnesota is their young guys off the bench. Can Rob Dillingham step into a secondary playmaker role? You know, if, especially if you have like Dante DiVincenzo may end the year starting over Mike Conley. You know, Mike Conley's just, it's nothing against Mike Conley. He's just old. Like, it's tough to keep asking him to do as much as he has. But if a guy like Terrence Shannon Jr. can take another step, you know, they have guys that are off the bench along with some of their vets like Naz Reid that I really think they have an opportunity just because they didn't really have a whole lot change in the offseason. They're kind of a boring team and people don't want to think about them. And, you know, nobody likes Rudy Gobert and people don't like Julius Randle. So they're not the most fun team to think about, but I think they're a team that could absolutely be, if you told me they were the 2 or 3 seed in the West, I would not be shocked at all. And I think that could really get him some consideration for coach of the year, especially, you know, if you're seeing him have to change some things up in their rotation from what they've done in the past, just to be able to make them more viable in that regard. And then if Miami gets off to a hot start, which I don't necessarily think they will, I would think, like, I haven't bet Spoelstra, but if Miami starts well, I'm going to look to at least get some sort of action on Eric Spoelstra because he's never won the award. And if he's even close, I think there are going to be people that are going to want to get him that award as more of a career achievement thing.
Mm-hmm. We have about a minute left. I thought, you know, Bulls will win 40, get the 9th seed, lose in the play-in game. Like, that's what they do. The mm-hmm. win total is only 32.5. What am I missing here?
I think it should be a slight over. The thing is, they had a lot of luck defensively last year. Opponents shot terribly from three. They got a lot of opportunities. They just didn't make those opportunities. You also had Vooch shoot like 40% from three. If he comes down from that and he slows down even more, just, you know, by the nature of his age, what do they have? Zach Collins is out for a while. Jalen Smith, okay. Like, that's what you have. I think their defense could regress pretty significantly, even though Billy Donovan is a pretty good coach when it comes to just manufacturing a solid defense. And one thing I think too, is the Bulls played really fast last year and that caught a lot of teams off guard. At least this far, you know, right now, a lot of teams are saying they want to play faster and they want to press a little bit more. So yeah. If you're going to be seeing that more often, what the Bulls did to, you know, manufacture some extra wins is not going to be as unique this year. So teams are going to be more prepared for it. So I think they're a slight over.
Campy, do you have 5 minutes on the other side to talk MVP and a couple other awards? All right, cool. We'll do that on the other side. People love MVP. I want to get some thoughts on that one as well. We'll keep things rolling. NBA Futures, Rick Camp is with us. Joe O, Sammy P, you got bets, sweats.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader. Here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
We didn't want to leave you hanging and totally skip out on MVP and a couple of other markets that Campy wanted to get out there because we had to hit a commercial break. So want to bring back Rick Camp for a few minutes here. He's got plays for tonight, some quick awards thoughts. But Campy, what are you thinking as far as MVP for this season? What's the number that you want to probably grab right now? Because if you wait until football's over, it's going to be long gone. You're going to have that FOMO.
I think it might be Anthony Edwards. At this point, I like Minnesota. If I like Minnesota, Anthony Edwards is going to be really damn good. So Anthony Edwards in that like 25 range right now, I think is probably worth something. And then I put a little bit on Victor Wembanyama. I don't know, like at the time I got it, it was 18. And that's more for FOMO purposes than anything else, just because he's so fun that I don't want to, like, if it's the year where he breaks out and actually breaks everybody's brains and wins MVP and the Spurs are really good, I don't want to not have a ticket. Like, that's one where my NBA fan brain is taking over a little bit more than my analyst brain, admittedly, in that one. But I think of the favorites, I don't think the Lakers are going to be good enough for Luka to win. I don't know if Jokic is going to play as many minutes. So even though I think Denver's going to be really good, I don't know if the stats are going to be quite as gaudy. So I really feel like it's going to be Shea, which the market reflects, or someone that's coming from a little further back. I don't know if the Bucks are going to be good enough for Giannis to be truly viable, even though his numbers are going to be insane this year.
I thought for sure you were going to say Cade Cunningham. I guess I was wrong. I thought you were going to say Cade for MVP.
I like Cade. I don't know how much I trust what's around him right now. Like, losing Jaden Ivey for a while sucks. I had Jaden Ivey for an MIP ticket at like 80 from earlier in the summer. So the fact that he's out for a while now sucks. But they need that secondary score. And then I want to see how it looks, you know, with a guy like Duncan Robinson in there. Now that you don't have Malik Beasley, who did a lot of the heavy lifting for them in terms of shooting and giving them any sort of spacing. Like, I think Detroit's still going to be good. Like, they're probably still going to be like second in the Central. So I know there's not much value on a like Cleveland Detroit division exacta, but I really think that's just what it's going to be with the Bucks doing whatever they're doing. The Pacers are going to be not as good without Halliburton, and the Bulls are the Bulls.
So I know you've got an MIP spot. So go into your most improved player and what you're doing on tonight's card.
So for MIP, one thing I think that's interesting to note, it's a trickle-down effect of last year's rookie class being so bad, is that usually you get a lot of second-year guys that were the top picks that are, you know, with the shortest odds in the market, which is always a dumb thing that happens because second-year players are not going to win most improved player. There's just enough of the voting block that will not vote for a second-year guy that it provides value further down the board. But with so few of those guys actually having a chance to be stars, there's not really that this year. So I'm looking down the odds board a little bit. Nikola Jovic of the Heat has been getting talked up a lot. He's going to have his role increased, especially with Tyler Hero out to start the year. Spoelstra has liked what he's been able to do. And he's around 45, 50 to 1 right now for most improved player. I like his possibility to go from around 10 points a game to, you know, if he gets, I know it's a little lower of a threshold usually than we get from a most improved player. But, you know, with Dyson Daniels last year, it also kind of changed the mold a little bit. So if he's able to get up into that, you know, above 15 and the Heat are decent where he's helping to be an engine of that, I think he could have a real chance at most improved player. And then going to tonight's card, I do like Jovic over his points. It's either a juice 9.5 or a plus money 10.5, depending on where you look. I like playing that along with a 15 plus, even though they're in Orlando. Like, he's just going to get the minutes. He's going to get usage, even if he's not the most efficient, just with Tyler Hero out. Also for tonight, Karl Anthony Towns over 2.5 assists. Just with this new system that the Knicks want to run, he's going to have more opportunities to play make, especially with the other bigs out. He's going to have a little more gravity in that regard. Jalen Duren of the Pistons, I laddered his rebounds. It's over 11.5 is plus money. I laddered it all the way up to 20, and that's around 25 to 1 right now for 20 rebounds against the Bulls. The Bulls and Nikola Vucevic have issues against really athletic centers. In their first meeting last year, Duren had 22 boards. So I really don't think laddering it is that off base. Then just with all the injuries in Memphis, they have no big guys. Santi Aldama over 6.5 boards and a double-double also, which is around 4.5 to 1. I do like that. Asar Thompson over 2.5 assists for the Pistons. Just, again, no Jaden Ivey. They need someone else to play make. This is a random one. Kevin Porter Jr. of the Bucks over 1.5 steals is like plus 175. The Bucks are playing the Wizards, who are terrible. They're going to turn the ball over a ton, and Kevin Porter's a guy who can take advantage of that. And I did a fun parlay for tonight. Giannis triple-double and LaMelo Ball triple-double. The Bucks are playing the Wizards. The Hornets are playing the Nets. It's depending on where you're putting that in. If you do a manual build on that to get a little extra value, you're looking at between 160 and 170 to 1 for those two to both get triple-doubles.
All right. Write that down. Just write that
LaMelo
down
and who?
Giannis.
Giannis, double MVP night. All right.
Double.
We're in.
No, triple-double night.
I mean, whatever, that too.
Yeah.
They're both
going to win. LaMelo's healthy for once, so you might as well try and take advantage of it while they have no centers.
Joe's going to parlay LaMelo and Giannis to win the MVP. Like, no, don't, no. Triple-double.
Eastern Conference. MVP as well. All right. Rick Camp at Rick C. Camp over on X. I'm Fat Podcast. He's got Fat Stacks. Make sure you check that on his account. Rick, thank you so much. We'll talk soon, all right?
No problem. Good to talk to you guys.
All right. Good stuff with Rick Camp. Glad we got all those. There's a lot of some good numbers, good angles from Rick Camp. Terrific on the NBA. He hit some futures every single year. So, pay close attention. Hope you're taking notes on some of the things that he had to say. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovic, we've got Bet Sweats. All right, the NFL card. We want to talk some live dogs and teasers. I can't say a lot of the live dogs stood out, but I will say, Sam, there were some teasers that jumped out. And I thought of you when looking at the numbers and looking at the teasers that I think are solid possibilities. Because this is when Sam Panionovic would say, oh, I can't tease 6.5. Watch me. That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking when I see Baltimore minus 6.5 against Chicago and Cincinnati minus 6.5 against the Jets. Yes, a piece of my brain's like, well, there's a reason it's not quite 7, but I don't think either of those teams are losing those games.
Yeah, just because Wong doesn't like it doesn't mean it's not going to win. That was the old thing. Well, if you don't go through 7-3, you're not doing it right. And was it last year Wong teasers just got destroyed if you were teasing them up? Like, if you were going through 3-7 up, you were getting murdered because favorites were just winning and winning big. Now, if you wanted to tease down, you were doing fine. And Murray's talked about that on the show. We've had several Vegas guys say, well, yeah, all they do is just like moneyline parlay and tease down. Those were good. Those were profitable. I was going to hit you with Buffalo. Buffalo minus one.
I've got that down. Okay.
Or Buffalo, I mean, depending on where you shop, BetMGM has 7.5 down to 1.5. But Buffalo's going to win. And I think they're going to cover. So, yeah, to get them from 7.5 to 1.5 or 7 down to 1, that would be my favorite leg. All we've heard for 2 weeks is how the Bills are not going to win a playoff game or they're not going to win the Super Bowl. And it's just like, all right, chill out. They're going to be fine. They're probably going to make a run, as they do. And then do they get past Kansas City? I don't know. Probably not. Probably not. But to think that they can't go into Carolina and win handsomely against Andy Dalton, give me a break.
I heard if you bet on the Bills win the Super Bowl, you're wasting your money. Is that not a thing?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that too. I've heard a lot of things.
Buffalo's a strong pick. I agree with you there. I think Atlanta's good. You tease Atlanta from 7-1 against this dumpster fire in Miami. And can you get there on Philly? 7.5. Down to 1.5 against the Giants. Or do they, are the Giants like, man, these guys are live just about every week against anyone?
I think a lot of these 7-point favorites are going to not only win, but cover. So,
yeah,
I was looking at laying Philly. I was looking at laying Buffalo. I was looking at laying Cincinnati. So to get them from 6.5, 7, 7.5 through the 4, through the 3, down to 1, 1.5-ish, you probably got a bunch of winners there. As far as teasing up, I would tease San Francisco up to 7.5 at Houston.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't like a lot of those. I didn't like a lot of teasing up this week. Quarterback doesn't matter to you?
No. I'm not. Houston's offense is atrocious, man. It's just so bad. And I like making them a 7.5-point favorite and going the other way.
I totally understand that. Yeah, they can't do anything. They're one touchdown the other night. Well, for most of the game, because Woody Marks got a meaningless touchdown at the very end, was a defensive player just falling on it in the end zone. Will Anderson doing that. So, yeah, a lot of teaser options, much like last week. I didn't see – I'm guessing you agree, based on what you just said. I didn't see a lot of live dogs out of love, which is always scary to me.
Not Pittsburgh, not Washington, no primetime dogs.
Pittsburgh, yes. That sounds like a dead ass dog right there. Pittsburgh, yes. They're a good one. I wrote in pencil Cleveland.
Not in pen, in pencil.
Yes, in pencil, because it's 7. I'm like, oh God. And it's Cleveland on the road, and man. New England's going to lose at some point. Is this the spot going home after a 3-game road trip? I was thinking about that.
Let me tell you about Washington. So 2 weeks ago, we all decided that the Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl again. And last week, the Chiefs won 31-0. Who's going to want to bet Washington? That's going to be one of the most public favorites of the entire primetime season. They're going to lay 10, 10.5 with the Chiefs. And I might go the other way.
Yep, I understand. But not on money line.
No. Just the cover. Just the cover. No, I'm not insane.
Not yet. Joe O, CMVP, we've got another hour coming your way. We'll talk to Foul Territory's Jason Kipnis about the World Series starting on Friday. You've got Bet Sweats.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.